Are y'all following? It's kind of a squirrely point I'm going to make here pretty soon. Not really, but I was reading this, and as I'm reading Acts, I wonder, what does Luke want me to learn from this journey of Paul? But do you see the controversy building here? These Jews and Gentiles have a hard time with each other, and so they're getting Paul to make, if you can believe it, a concession. This was probably the Nazarite vow thing. You can read about that in Numbers chapter 6. At the end of the Nazarite vow, they have to shave their heads and go and make some sacrifices. And James is saying, Paul, in order to... And I've got these great words that Jason came in and read to me this week to help me with this sermon. I went in and asked him about words. James is asking Paul, I don't even know how to pronounce some of them, to be disarming, peaceable, willing to negotiate with these Jews relative to customs that they hold dear that they thought Paul was ignoring. So what does Paul do? Let me back up. He makes a concession, like he did with Timothy in Acts 16. He makes a concession. Paul to be involved in customary Jewish practice. You see, we were sold a bill of goods. I was sold a bill of goods when I was taught that everything in the Bible is the same relative to its importance to our faith. It was a bill of goods. If everybody doesn't agree on every point, see, everything was the same. Do you believe in Jesus? Yes. Can you have a kitchen in your church? No. And if you disagree with any one of those things, somebody's got to be going to hell. Brethren, it was a bill of goods. It's not true. And there is such a thing as doing everything we can do for each other to get along, and sometimes, how do you pronounce that first word? You have to do that. I found all kinds of new. You have to conciliate. Paul didn't mind. He's strong on this whole Jew-Gentile coming together. Read Ephesians chapter 2. Jesus himself is our peace, not our conclusions. And I think sometimes I've mixed them up. I remember growing up. You remember where I grew up? I really don't make these stories up because they're good preaching points. I remember when we had our Christmas tree, it was a family decision that there would be no angel at the top, no candles on it, and nothing about Jesus mentioned in our house. Anybody else? You remember everything, if you had a symbol, then you were a Catholic. If you had a cross hanging around your neck, then you were a Catholic. People come to conclusions. I think it's fine if somebody doesn't want to have an angel on their tree. I still have a Santa Claus at the top of mine. It's my custom. As we go through life, we've all seen things that are important to people. They are important because of where they are in their walk with God, and they still believe in Jesus, but these Easter Sunday things, when the world decides that's the Resurrection Sunday, why should we as a people of God honor that when we don't even know that that's the day? these new songs, and see,
not everybody likes new songs or old songs or things like that. Some people raise their hands, some, and
I think it's good that we're able to live together and be at different places in some of our applications. You remember back when we divided over whether or not you could have one cup or many? Isn't that sad? And this, as I read this, I thought to myself, you know, Paul here in this situation is thinking about what's good for them. So he goes through the whole Nazarite vow thing and even pays their expenses. I might have said, okay, James, I'll go through the deal, but you know, they're carrying their own mail relative to how much this costs. Have this mind in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with the Father something to be held on to, but he emptied himself. That's what Paul's doing. Paul is setting aside, not truth, not Jesus, but he's setting aside something that is strong in his heart for the sake of others. Go the extra mile. Do unto others as you would have them do to you.